Hello, and welcome to this episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives. I'm Diana Isaacs and joined by Natalie Bellini. And in this episode, we've got some big news. We want to talk about the new SELECT trial top line results about semaglutide or Wegovy. And then we also want to talk about an up and coming SGLT2 inhibitor, Brenzavvy, and some new data that's come out around that. So we'll start off with SELECT. And if you all hadn't heard this very recently, we've heard top line results from the SELECT trial, which was basically a cardiovascular outcome trial in people with obesity that do not have diabetes. So in terms of the trial, it was over 17,000 patients, ages over 45 with a BMI over 27. So technically included people with overweight or obesity, in 41 countries. And so the study's primary endpoint was the composite outcome of the first occurrence of MACE, which includes cardiovascular death, non-fatal MI or non-fatal stroke. And ultimately what the study showed over a period of 5 years when the first 1,270 MACE events occurred is that there was a 20% MACE reduction in the semaglutide 2.4 milligram group compared to the placebo group. So Natalie, what are your thoughts about this?
So we've been waiting for this data. This will help us in so many ways. Number one, we've always said, you know, once you get diabetes, your risk of major cardiac events is much higher. We know this. This is why we use GLP-1s in people with diabetes, but we had no data. We had gut feelings, but we had no clinical data for those that were either overweight or obese. So remember, this was a very large trial. Over 41 countries participated. These people already had established cardiovascular disease, but they had no history of diabetes. And the 20% reduction in major adverse cardiac events, that is so significant that now what do we think of? We think of, we need to get these medications approved for people to treat overweight and obesity to reduce those major adverse cardiac events.
Yeah, I mean, I know we've been so excited to see this data for a long time because it's like, right, we hypothesized that, yeah, if these drugs are showing the benefits in people with type 2 diabetes and established cardiovascular disease, that it would also help people with overweight or obesity. But until you see the data, you really don't know for sure. And 20%, that's a pretty big deal. It's not like 2% or 5% or even 10%, like 20%. That is a huge deal.
And what that says is, you know, in you and I, this isn't going to increase coverage right away, but it should start to. There are a lot of insurance companies that absolutely don't cover any weight loss medications whatsoever. And because GLP-1 is a more expensive drug as a class overall, lots of people can't afford it if it's not covered. So the goal would be with this initial readout, and then the following, we're going to have to wait for the full study publication, of course, that down the line in the next couple of years, that more and more insurance companies will recognize this and start covering it to reduce the risk of MACE, not just for weight loss. You know, Medicare doesn't cover weight loss. They don't cover Wegovy. They don't cover, any weight loss medication. So there are lots of people that could benefit from this class of medications that just don't have access.
Yeah. And I think that's the big thing, right? What's the coverage going to look like? And I think once the data is actually published, then we can dig a little bit deeper and see, like, are there certain subgroups that benefited more? Was the amount of weight loss associated with better, like more improved cardiovascular outcomes? I mean, I have so many questions still.
Yes. But
I'm also really excited because I feel like this really is a great step forward toward gaining better coverage. And if we prove that this improves cardiovascular outcomes, then the coverage should follow. I mean, I've got patients that are basically begging to have a diabetes diagnosis so that they can get these drugs.
Yes.
And that's sad. We don't want people to try to get diabetes, right? So, or
right.
like try to say they have diabetes and they might not. And so I think if we showcasing that these work, whether you have diabetes or not diabetes, to improve cardiovascular outcomes is really, it's just really exciting.
So the other thing we need to remember is 41% of Americans have either overweight or obesity as one of their, one of their medical diagnoses, right? So when we look at diabetes as a whole, it's more like 10 or 11%. Right. So this is a huge number of people that really could use this, this help.
Yeah. And so like going back to kind of the coverage and everything, I think that's what's going to be really interesting because currently, I mean, these drug classes, it's at least $1,000 per month in the US, but it's not that way everywhere else around the world. So it's just really interesting how, because if it's $300 a month, then you could probably easily argue, okay, like the, it's cost versus benefit. I mean, clearly the benefit is worth paying that. If it's $1,000 or $1,100 or $1,200 per month, then where do you kind of draw that line? And do you have to be super high cardiovascular risk or like have, you know, older age or in order to qualify? So those will be kind of the quest, the up and coming questions. But I am optimistic about where we're going for obesity, that we finally are really have good tools and the things that are up and coming in the pipeline. I think we're making really good progress.
And I think we also need to remember that this is what we call, for those that don't know, top line results, right? This is not the full study yet. So we're going to need to wait for that before anything changes. Right now, we're all going to talk about it. We're all going to say, of course, we knew this, but we didn't have data, right? We knew, you know, and so I think that's a big part of it, that this is the top line. This is not a published study yet. So now we need to wait for that to happen and then we'll go from there. So, but it is very exciting news. This is what we've been waiting for, to help treat those people with overweight and obesity. And then those questions that follow, is this going to reduce or slow down or delay the onset of diabetes, right? If I put someone on, you know, semaglutide weekly at 2.4 milligrams, do I delay the onset of type 2 for 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years? We have no idea. So there are some questions and there will be some excitement around long-term follow-up studies to this as well.
Yeah, like I'm curious too about, I guess, I mean, generally these drugs tend to be well tolerated, but I am curious, like the percentage of people that continue taking it, that dropped out, adverse effects, like all of those kind of things, because this is a placebo controlled trial. So it'll be interesting to see the full report out. I absolutely can't wait. So switching gears, I want to spend a little bit of time talking about Brenzavvy, which is a new SGLT2 inhibitor. It became approved, or it became available earlier this year in 2023. It was originally had some hype because it was approved for use in cats, and then it got the human approval. And so some people might be saying, well, gosh, why do we need a fifth SGLT2 inhibitor? And so when it first became available, I really didn't think much of it because, yeah, it's just a fifth SGLT2 inhibitor. But where now it is starting to make some noise is that the pricing. So Mark Cuban's cost plus drug company makes it available for $47.85 per month. And while you might be thinking, oh, well, that's still almost $50, the usual price for SGLT2 inhibitors is over $500 per month. So that is quite a difference. I mean, that's like 10% or less of what the other SGLT2 inhibitors are. So curious, Natalie, your thoughts on that. Do you think that's going to impact kind of the prescribing of this medication?
Yes. Just this week, I saw a patient who is actually obtaining SGLT2 inhibitor outside the US for a lower reduced cost. And but it wasn't this low. And I can get this, I can send the prescription legally and the person with diabetes can obtain it legally in the US. That makes me feel better. You know, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for, you know, overall, what does an SGLT2 inhibitor do? Well, we're using them in the hospitals to treat heart failure. We're using them to slow down that progression of kidney disease, right? So if someone's spilling protein in their urine, our first thing, that's first indication that the kidneys are even a little bit stressed, right, is protein in the urine. So we give them an SGLT2 inhibitor to protect that kidney as long as possible and delay that onset or that progression to stage 2, 3, 4, and then 5, you know, CKD disease. So if I can get this for $50 a month, a lot of people will choose this. And again, this is the only one, and it's so much less expensive. Some of the data matches or is very similar. And again, you can't compare study to study, but much of the data is comparative to other SGLT2 inhibitors, like a decrease in blood pressure, right? So those kinds of things, you know, notable, a little bit of decrease in weight. Remember, that pulls that glucose out of the blood through the kidney and eliminates it through the urine. So there is a constant diuresis of glucose, right? Where, or almost constant anyway, and that's pulling extra calories out through the urine. So we do see some weight loss with it as well. So I'm excited because we can offer this to people with diabetes that can't afford any other way. You know, not as much weight loss as GLP-1s, by far not as much with the SGLT2s, but there is weight loss and no risk of hypoglycemia with these medication as a class. So we use them a lot in diabetes and diabetes management.
Yeah. And so also the reason why it's like kind of top of mind is because there was some clinical data recently published in the past week, another randomized controlled double blind placebo controlled trial, basically comparing it as add on to metformin versus placebo and showcasing, not surprisingly, that the A1C reductions were greater with this drug compared with placebo. It was actually a 1.09% reduction in the treatment arm versus 0.56% in the placebo. And then the other thing was about showing there was greater blood pressure reduction. Like you just mentioned, the difference was 7 millimeters of mercury systolic between placebo and Brenzavi. And then also, just like you mentioned, those that had a BMI over 25, there was greater weight loss that we saw as well. So it appears that a lot of the data is similar to what we've seen with other agents. I think the one thing though, like we just talked about, like the SELECT with semaglutide, is, well, what does the cardiovascular outcome data show? And so the FDA has mandated that we have this cardiovascular outcome assessment. And actually, the BEST trial with over 1,700 patients did indeed look at Brenzavi in people with type 2 diabetes at elevated risk of cardiovascular disease. Now, we don't unfortunately have these results yet, even though we believe the trial has been completed and it has been reported out at the American College of Cardiology conference earlier this year. And those results, they said that it looked favorable in terms of those MACE endpoints, but did not reach statistical significance. So again, we don't have the publication, so we can't dive deep into it, but it does kind of beg the question, because are all SGLT2 inhibitors equal? Like for example, Stiglatro or Tugloflozin, that's an SGLT2 inhibitor that actually did not show improvements in terms of cardiovascular disease. And so that one I would say has really, I don't know. I just kind of see it the least prescribed. It's just not, usually people are really,
I agree. Right. Together, yeah, right? Absolutely. You have to go with the ones that you can, that you trust are doing the job that you need it to do. Right. Yep.
Right. And so I wonder what's going to happen. I mean, the whole thing when Ertugliflozin was actually the fourth SGLT2 inhibitor that came on the market, Stiglatro. And so its whole thing when it came out was that it was lower priced than the three others. And so I think there was uptake and we saw certain insurance plans prefer it because of that. But then I think when the data was not positive, or I mean, it was neutral. It's not that it was negative,
right,
but we didn't have the positive data that we saw with like Farxiga and Invokana and Jardiance. And so it really is like fallen out of favor. And so here we now, we've got Brenzavi. We don't have the full cardiovascular outcome data, so we can't really say one way or another, but it also is a lot cheaper. I mean, it's not like it's $300. It is like under $50. So,
right. And I think what happens then is, Diana, is what you and I both think, which is some SGLT2 inhibitor is probably better than one you can't afford, right? Yeah. So would I pick the other brand names, even if they're slightly higher in cost because of their cardiovascular risk reduction, though, most insurance companies are covering to some extent, you know? So it's hard to talk about insurance coverage because it's one of those things where if you have a high out-of-pocket, if you're, right, some insurances cover one brand versus the other. This one's preferred, that one's preferred, you know? But if they can't afford it because they have a very high out-of-pocket, a high deductible plan, right? This is where I'm going to go, right? I have to hope that we're giving them something. It's going to reduce A1C by 1%, reduce body weight. And also, you don't have hypoglycemia with this class of medications. So I can use it safely without those concerns. But you're right. We need to be careful with who we use it for. You know, clinically, if I say to someone, you have you know, heart failure or, you know, the beginnings of heart failure or whatever diagnosis that we're choosing, and I don't have data behind it, as a clinician, I'm going to have to explain, this would be the cost of this one. I've got this kicked back. What do you want to do? There's this other one. We don't have quite all the data yet, but it is a third the price, you know?
Right. I think the other thing is, so this is going through Mark Cuban's Cost Plus.
Yes.
So this is great for people that don't have insurance coverage or their insurance plan, like, I don't know, has like a hugely high deductible. And, yep. But for many people, if their SGLT2 inhibitor is covered on their insurance plan, they may pay less than this. I mean,
absolutely. Right.
I mean, their copay. Right. So this isn't always going to be a cheaper option for everyone. So it'll depend, but I like knowing that this is an option for those that may have no coverage and would otherwise have to pay the full cost. I like knowing that we have this option.
Right. No, I absolutely agree. I think this is it's a great point. And I love that we can talk about it and that it is an option now. Right. Mm-hmm. But again, we need the, I would like more data.
I wanted to add that, believe it or not, this is actually not the first SGLT2 inhibitor in Mark Cuban's drug cost. Invokana canagliflozin is on there too, but the big difference is it's $235 per month. So before Brenzavvy was on there, I would have said, well, that's great. That's less than half the cost of what they usually are. But now that we do have an option that's so much lower, I don't know. I'm really excited. So we'll see where all of this goes. Well, thank you for tuning in to this episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives. We will see you next time.
Take care.